We're continuing our thoughts in Hebrews chapter 13 this morning. And I want to read the same verses that we read last Sunday, but focus in on the sanctifying of the people with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 13, verse 12 and 13, we read, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach." I mentioned last week that this is a reference concerning the people of God. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is used to set the people of God apart, and I believe it's setting them apart for service. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 26, talks about Moses esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. Moses anticipated rewards. We are anticipating rewards. And those rewards are for service and things that we do. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 tells us that whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. The reward we need to associate with our inheritance. The inheritance is given to us as a reward, and that again is based upon service. We need to appreciate the fact that sanctification or being set apart is the will of God for us. 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us in verse 3 beginning, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." If you're living in sin, you are not set apart. We need to appreciate that. It uses the terms fornication or sexual sin, but any sin will hinder you from serving God. When you're in submission to sin, you're not in a place where you can serve the Lord. So we need to abstain from things in our life that would dishonor Him, because it's the will of God for us to be set apart for Him. And we need to know how to control our appetites. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 7, it says, "God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto sanctification." Anything that is unclean will stop us in our tracks as far as being set apart is concerned. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21 and 22, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet or fit for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." This verse tells us that sanctification has to do with being prepared for every good work and ready for the Lord to use you. We are to flee youthful lust. Now, these are the things that we need to purge ourselves from, youthful lust. And he didn't go into the long list because we are all able to, I believe, relate to things that we can relate to when we were young. But we are to follow after righteousness, faith, that is that which pleases God, love for Him and for each other. We need peace. with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So we're to purge ourselves from these and be set apart, prepared to be used of the Lord in every good work. Now, it takes the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for this to happen. It says that we are sanctified that He might sanctify the people with His own blood. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, it says, almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Oftentimes we forget what the meaning of the word remission is. The word remission means deliverance and liberty. If you're in bondage to that which is unclean, if you're in bondage to sin, you are serving sin. And you need to be released from that bondage. And it's with the shedding of blood that we are able to be released from the bondage of the world, the flesh, and the devil, if you want to place the categories of masters that bring us into subjection. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 helps define the word remission. It's found in this verse two times. The Lord said to the people in the temple, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance." Here's the word remission. The word deliverance is remission. "To the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." The word liberty is also the word remission. So without the shedding of blood, there is no deliverance. From what? From bondage. Without the shedding of blood, there is no liberty. To do what? As you please? Obviously not. We have no liberty to do what the Lord would have us to do, because our allegiance is to the things, to our youthful lust. Our allegiance is to those things that would bring us into captivity. And let me tell you, sin is addicting if we let it happen. Now, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14 exhorts us to pursue sanctification. It doesn't automatically come when you are saved. Obviously, when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your sins are cleansed, and you are, in a sense, set apart. But let me tell you, Eve wasn't in the garden a half an hour, I'm sure, before the devil came by and pointed to her the forbidden fruit. The devil doesn't take long to get your attention and to distract you away from the things of the Lord. So, we are to pursue sanctification, without which no man shall see the Lord. And this has to do with being close to Him in His coming kingdom. I think everybody will see the Lord, but it's not in the same proximity as being on His right hand and is on His left hand in the kingdom. But anyway, it's something that we need to pursue. And it takes the sprinkling of blood. In Hebrews chapter 9, verses 12 through 14, it says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption," or age-lasting redemption. Redemption, let me just stop here briefly and tell you, redemption has to do with being released. In the Old Testament law, in type and in picture, a man could go bankrupt. And because he had no money, the first thing that usually left were his possessions, but primarily his land. So he would give up his land or so much of his land depending upon how much he owed. And that land would be in bondage to the person that he owed the money to. And when a man ran out of property to give away or to give in exchange for his debt, then he had to sell himself. And then he did what his master told him to do, his new master. So when he was redeemed, he was released from the bondage of the man whom he owed the money to, so he could be back with his family. And then there was the provision for the release in the year of Jubilee of property back to the family to make sure that everyone would have an inheritance in the land, the nation of Israel. So when we think about the Lord obtaining redemption for us, and the word eternal, by the way, should be translated age. It's an adjective describing the redemption. Obviously, we won't need to be redeemed when we're in heaven, will we? Hopefully, we won't sell ourselves into bondage when we are with the Lord. I don't think we'll be able to. But when do we need to be delivered from bondage? This age. Satan is the god of this age. Satan is in the business of bringing all of us into bondage. And he has slick ways of doing that. So we need age-lasting redemption. We need to be able to be redeemed now. And it's through his shed blood on the mercy seat that allows that to happen. And so when we go to the throne of grace or the mercy seat in the heavenlies, then we are by faith appropriating that blood for ourselves. Now let's see why. Verse 13, "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh," notice that it's the blood of bulls and goats provided separation or sanctification to be set apart. Remember Aaron and his sons? How were they set apart? By the sprinkling of blood upon them. Moses sprinkled blood upon Aaron and his sons. He put blood on their thumb, their right thumb. He put blood on their earlobe. He put blood on the big toe. The big toe, if you don't have your big toe, it can't run very fast. And that's true. And if you don't have your right thumb, have you ever tried to pull a bow? If you didn't have a thumb, and by the way, they didn't just usually cut it off at the joint here. They usually cut it off all the way. So, I mean, all you had was your palm. But anyway, so we need to be able to war a good warfare. We need to be able to run and flee the devil. And we need to be able to hear with sanctified hearing, the hearing of the ears. But anyway, so it's the blood of bulls and of goats sanctified Aaron and his sons for the priesthood in purifying the flesh or cleaning up the flesh. It says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the age-lasting spirit," or really the spirit of this age. What is the spirit of this age? Preparing for the age to come. What is the spirit of this age? It's serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the spirit of the age. Because it goes on to say, "Who offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from what? Dead works." Dead works. You serve another God, you're producing wood, hay, and stubble, dead works. You're free to serve the Lord, your works are not dead. But we are freed from dead works to serve the living God. In Exodus 8:1, it says that it talks about being redeemed for service. This had to do with the children of Israel who were in bondage to whom in Egypt? Well, Egypt. I told you the answer. The children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt. They were making brick for the Egyptian government. And it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me." Why weren't they serving him in the land of Egypt? They couldn't. They were in bondage to Pharaoh. And so Moses says, "You let my people go for what reason? To serve me." In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 21, and I brought this out because the word redeem is in it, where it says, and David, this is in the prayer of David concerning the building of the temple, and he says, "What one nation in the earth is like the people of Israel, whom God went to redeem to be his own people, to make thee a name of greatness and terribleness by driving out nations from before thy people, whom thou hast redeemed," where? "Out of Egypt." Redemption has to do with freeing us from bondage. For what purpose? To serve God, to serve the Lord. Now, Joshua reminds us that they were in bondage in Egypt in Joshua 24, verse 17, where he says, "For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Bondage. Now, in our studies of the book of Hebrews, we have already looked at Hebrews 12:28, where we are exhorted to have grace. Hebrews 12:28 reads, "Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, or may we continually have grace." That's a present active subjunctive, meaning that we may not have grace. Did you know that? You may not have the grace of God. You've got to get the grace of God when you need it. And it says, "May we have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear." We may not serve God acceptably when? When we are not having grace. When do you know the grace of God is working in your life? How can you tell when you have grace? When you have peace. The peace of God provides us with grace. I mean, the grace of God provides us with peace. So, we need grace for acceptable service. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 tells us that the grace of God is the power of Christ. We need His power to serve Him. If we don't have the grace of God in our life, we cannot serve Him because we have no power. Paul said, or the Lord said unto Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me." We want the grace of God to rest upon us. If we're unclean, it's not going to rest there, because God is not going to give His power for us to serve the world or the flesh or the devil. He's just not going to give us that. So if we are serving these three, we're doing it in the flesh and in the power of our own will and not the will of God. So, where do we go for the grace? Well, we know that God is able to make all grace abound toward us, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. "That ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, might abound into every good work." Notice that it's the abundance of grace that allows us to have abundant good works, that we might abound into every good work. I thought it would be helpful for us to review a little bit Romans chapter 6, where it talks about being servants of sin. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." I don't know that we need to remind ourselves of it, but often I think we do. We can serve sin. We can do it. A lot of people think that, I've been saved so many years and I haven't sinned. Well, they're only reading one verse in 1 John, that's all. Sin, we can become servants of sin. Romans chapter 6 verse 12 tells us, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." Notice that associated with sin is lust. Notice that sin can reign in your body. What does it mean to reign? He's in charge. He's the king. He's the ruler. It's the ruler. And so therefore, we are not to allow sin to reign. We're to rebel against that authority. We continue in Romans chapter 5, verse 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death. And what does it mean when sin reigns unto death? It means the loss of our inheritance and age-lasting life in His coming kingdom. If sin is reigning, you will not receive the reward of the inheritance. And the inheritance is associated with His coming kingdom. We're not getting rewards right now. We are obtaining rewards right now by service. We are now storing up treasures in heaven and not here on the earth. So that as sin hath reigned unto death, we will perish. We will not enjoy the blessings of the coming kingdom. So we need to realize the consequences when sin reigns. Then in Romans 6, chapter 6, verse 16, it says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield your self-servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness." We can be obedient to sin, or we can be obedient to righteousness. Being obedient to the Lord, which leads to righteousness. So we need to ask ourselves the question, are we the servants of sin, or have we resisted sin? Now, Romans chapter 6 and verse 19, continuing, "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto sanctification." When we were living in sin, did we do it reluctantly? No. When we were living in sin, we were enjoying it to the full. When we were living in sin, we did it without much embarrassment, no restraint. And just as we lived in sin, we need to have the same focus and purpose in living for the Lord. This is the point that I want to make here. Just as sin leads to uncleanness, and the word iniquity would be better translated lawlessness. And when we become lawless, what happens? We become more lawless. When we begin to live in sin, it's just easier to keep on, keep on, keep on, getting deeper and deeper and deeper. We need to be warned of that. We need to be warned of that and be aware of it. And just as we had the desires of the things of the flesh, we need to have the desires of the things of holiness and sanctification. In fact, in Romans 6:22, it says, "Now being made free from sin and become servants of God, you're to have your fruits unto sanctification." And the results unto age-lasting life. The benefits are ruling and reigning with Christ if we abandon sin and servitude to sin and serve the Lord. We need to be servants of righteousness. So, the Lord has provided redemption for us, and that redemption in His blood. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption, that is the release from serving others through the blood. The remission, that is deliverance, liberty from sins according to the riches of His grace. There's redemption through His blood as well as remission through His blood. We can be delivered from the bondage of sin. And one of the things that helps us to do that is the Word of God. John 17:17 tells us that we are sanctified through the truth, through Thy truth, and Thy Word is truth. The knowledge of the Word of God will help us and encourage us to separate ourselves unto the Lord. Because we know the benefits of living for the Lord. We know the benefits of being clean from sin. We know the benefits of confessing of our sins, knowing that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But we also need to know that we need to forsake the sins as well. Not just simply do them and confess them. So, it's the Word of God, the Word of truth, that provides us with sanctification. Acts 20:32 tells us, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace." What Word of truth? The Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are what? Sanctified. The sanctified will have what? An inheritance. The sanctified will have a reward, because the sanctified are those who are serving God and not serving the world, the flesh, and the devil. And this comes about through the Word of grace, the Word of His grace. Going back to Romans chapter 5, verse 21, I want to emphasize the latter part of that verse, where it says, "Just as sin brings death, even so grace, when it reigns through righteousness..." Let me just read it here. "That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal or age-lasting kingdom life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Notice that grace might reign. Grace may not reign either, you know. We have to let it. We have to let grace reign. Because grace will only reign when we are clean, when we are righteous in our walk with the Lord, when we are producing the fruits of sanctification unto righteousness. And if we will allow that to happen, we will enjoy life for the kingdom life in the coming age. So, where is this power available, provided for us? Well, I believe it's provided at the mercy seat in the heavenlies, and I want to close with that this morning. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." This is a roundabout way saying that He can be touched. He can be touched. He can feel for each of us. He was tested and tried, and He prevailed. He knows how to escape, and He knows how to teach us to escape as well. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy." Where is the mercy? At the mercy seat. What is on the mercy seat in the heavenlies? His shed blood. "And that we can find grace to help in time of need, to serve." Not just serve as well, but grace provides peace too. There are times when we are stressed out and we need peace, and the grace of God provides that. But when we need the power of Christ to forge on, to keep on keeping on, abounding in every good work, that the grace of God will give us the power to do that and the will to do that. And He will, and we will have the confidence to know that what He promised concerning serving Him by His grace, we will be rewarded and we will enjoy the blessings of His coming kingdom. It's through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have separation. For what reason? For service. That we might enjoy the blessings of His coming kingdom with rewards of honor and glory and positions of being kings and lords. May the Lord help us to continue to prepare in these days, as Satan would derail each one of us from the purpose that He has set before us. Father, I just pray that You'd bless the message this morning to each of our hearts. We know, Lord, that we need to flee youthful lust. We need to allow grace to be in charge. We need to go to the throne of grace and bow our knees before it, that grace being in charge would allow us to enjoy the blessings of Your coming kingdom if we are obedient unto righteousness. We thank You for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that is able to deliver us from the bondage of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and youthful lust, and being unclean, and lawless. Help us, Father, to be bold in applying the blood, that we might serve You and not serve dead works. Again, we ask You for Your blessings upon the message to each of our hearts and lives. May we be encouraged in these days to serve You with anticipation and hope for the coming kingdom. For it is in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.